Rompa lo viejo, auténtico como tú, presenta.
That's crazy, man. It's been, I'm not gonna take no more time of yours. Very nice to meet you and to talk to you. And you're a very humble person, and that's what makes you Eddie Van Halen, man.
Oh, don't ever forget where you came from.
That's very important. That's very important. Thank you, okay?
You can lose everything in the drop of a hat, you know?
Yes, yes, it's true.
So don't ever forget where you come from.
Thank you for being so kind with me, man.
So come backstage and say hello.
I will.
Pastor Scotty Ross?
Yes, yes. Have a great show, man.
Hey, I have to go now.
Take care.
Bye-bye, Elise.
Bienvenidos al podcast de Luis. Yo soy Luis. De verdad que es un honor para mí que estén visitando este nuevo proyecto. En esta primera edición quería comenzarla con una entrevista, una conversación que jamás pensé que se me fuera a dar, pero increíblemente se dio. Y pocas veces hay que ser bien afortunado de uno poder entrevistar a un ídolo de uno. O sea, porque él es un ídolo mío, fue un ídolo mío. Y cuando anunciaron que Van Halen venía a Puerto Rico en 1997 como parte de su gira mundial, yo no lo podía creer. Aunque no era con el cantante favorito ni el segundo cantante, Van Halen venía a Puerto Rico con su tercer cantante, Gary Cherone. Anyway, para todos era la oportunidad de ver a Eddie Van Halen en concierto en Puerto Rico, pero más que nada para mí, el conseguir una entrevista. Por lo tanto, inmediatamente llamé a las oficinas de Larry Stein, que era la persona que lo iba a traer en concierto, y traté de buscar la entrevista, y lo que me dijeron fue, Luis, estás en una lista de espera, el nuevo día es el primer choice, después había una segunda opción, y la tercera opción era yo. Eran tres personas en orden que pidieron entrevistas, so yo estoy pensando que voy a terminar entrevistando al cantante que nadie conoce. Pero increíblemente me llaman de la oficina de Larry Stein y sus palabras fueron, Luis, you got it. Y yo, what do you mean? ¿Qué significa? ¿Qué tú quieres decir? Mano, tienes a Eddie Van Halen mañana a las 3 de la tarde. Y yo, tú estás hablando en serio, Larry. Luis, mañana a las 3 de la tarde, Eddie Van Halen te va a llamar, porque en ese nivel es así. Ellos te llaman a una hora exacta, a una hora exacta. O sea, Van Halen tenía concierto en Chicago. Me recuerdo que la entrevista se iba a dar por teléfono y él me iba a llamar desde su cuarto antes de salir al soundcheck. O sea, imagínense que son las 2:30 de la tarde. Luis González está sentado frente a ese speakerphone porque tengo que grabar la entrevista para poder enseñárselo a ustedes 23 años después. Y a las 3 en punto suena el teléfono y ahí estaba mi ídolo, Eddie Van Halen, para muchos y para mí el mejor guitarrista del mundo. De verdad que es una conversación que para siempre la voy a llevar en mi corazón. ¿Por qué? Porque fue exactamente como pensaba que él iba a ser. Un tipo educado, súper cool, súper amable. Una persona que durante toda la entrevista estaba tratando de verdad de llevar su historia. Fue alguien bien especial. Y él hubiera sido especial con cualquiera. No era porque era yo, porque era tiempos. Es porque es así, Eddie Van Halen, porque era así. Lamentablemente lo perdimos hace unos meses, en octubre del 2020. Y es una pérdida para la música, para el mundo de la música bien grande, que jamás se va a poder llenar esos zapatos. Porque en sí era alguien muy especial. Pero lo que hizo grande a Eddie era su calidad humana, su educación. Es increíble la manera en que me habló, con el respeto que me habló a alguien que él ni conoce. Alguien que no es nadie en su vida, que no puede hacer nada por su carrera, mano. Y ahí se ve la grandeza de este señor. Ahí se vio en verdad su educación, su padre, su madre. Tienes tú una familia que vienen de Holland y migran a los Estados Unidos. Y en ese barco el papá fue contratado como músico, y por eso Eddie y Alex de chamaquitos venían en ese barco y aprenden lo que es la vida del músico y muchas cosas que van a ir en la entrevista, él me cuenta. Así que sin más preámbulos, este primer episodio del podcast de Luis con la leyenda, en paz descanse, Eddie Van Halen.
You know, first of all, thank you for calling, because in this moment of your career, I know you don't need to do an interview to sell out a show, you know.
Oh, we do this all the time.
So, you know, it's great that, you know, you're doing this for us.
We always.
Excuse me for a second. Millo.
Okay.
I'm in the phone right now, okay?
It's okay.
Bye. Yes, okay. Eddie, how everything started, you know? Why music? why you chose music of being a way of your life, you know?
I just kind of fell into it. My earliest memories in life was father practicing, you know?
Uh-huh.
My father was a musician.
Okay.
And so my very earliest memories as a child was of my father sitting in his music room practicing his clarinet.
Okay.
And then at the age of six, Alex and I were born in Amsterdam, Holland.
Okay.
And we both started at the age of six to be trained as classical pianists.
So it was pretty much very natural for you to get in the business.
Well, I don't really consider myself being in the business. I'm in the business of making music, not in the music business.
That's great, because the business right now is so terrible, you know?
Excuse my French, but business...
It's fucked up.
It's fucked.
Yeah, definitely.
It's always been that way. It will always be that way. And, you know, basically all a record company is a distribution thing.
Yes. And I think, you know, that the people now in the business are not for the passion like it started in the early days, you know. They're much for the fan thing, and, you know, not for the real purpose, you know.
It's all about greed. It's all money.
It's incredible that, you know, I'm hearing this from you. It's great.
Well, I've been in it so long.
Yes.
Well, I know everything, you know. It's like, put it this way, music is almost secondary.
Exactly. So how many CDs you sell and what image to put in and etc.
Exactly. And that's the thing, is Van Halen has no image.
That's great.
We just make music, and that's why 20 years later we're still here.
Exactly. That's awesome.
We are musicians and not rock stars. We don't follow trends. We don't set trends. We just make music.
Oh, man. I wish I could put this in the radio right now. How was, you know, who was your best or your biggest influence? Because, you know...
In the very, very beginning, so I started out playing piano when I was six. Then we moved to the United States when I was 7 years old.
Piano, because that was your dad, that's what he was playing, right?
Well, no. He actually played on the boat on the way over here.
Okay.
And we showed up with 75 guilders, which is Dutch money, and a piano.
Damn.
And we had to start from nothing.
Okay. So, you know, when music starting to get serious, you know, because maybe first it was about, you know...
Well, let me back up just a little bit. I just want to say that...
Okay.
My first instrument was piano, and then when the Beatles came out and a Dave Clark 5, you know, when rock and roll took the English invasion, I bought myself a drum set.
Okay.
And I started playing drums. Well, and my mom and dad, my mom convinced Alex to take flamenco guitar lessons.
Okay.
But while I had a paper route to pay for my drum set, because my parents couldn't afford it, so while I was out throwing the papers, Alex was playing my drums, and he got better than I did.
Okay.
So I said, okay, take my damn drums, I'll play guitar. Guitar is actually my third instrument, and it was never a dream for me or ever a fleeting thought. I never even imagined playing guitar, but it just so happened that I got stuck with it. It came very natural to me, as drums did for Alex, and now I'm actually very much into playing cello.
Wow, you know, you're very sensitive. You know, I didn't know you were going to be like this. It's great.
I play a lot of different instruments, but and guitar is actually my third instrument. Piano is my main instrument.
Eddie, why you fall in love with the guitar? You know, what you liked about it that it was so natural for you?
Well, I was forced to, because Alex took my drums.
Okay, but when you start playing the guitar, you know, even if you were forced, maybe you weren't going to be that good at it. Why you liked it so much? No.
Well, I think that if you focus on something and you really put your heart and soul into it, you can be good at anything you want to be.
Okay. When you did your first band, you know, because at the end, you know, you start realizing that you have to live out of something, so then...
Yeah.
In a way, you know, I don't like to say the word business, because you told me why, and that's clear.
I understand what you're saying.
When you get into it, you know, say, well, let's make money out of this, you know?
Well, it was my father's life. That's how we made ends meet. You know, he had three, four jobs. He was a janitor. He was a professional musician, but he was a janitor and stuff when we came to America, because we couldn't speak English, you know?
Uh-huh.
So we were like Latinos, you know.
Yes.
We were a minority.
Yeah. Yeah.
So music saved us. You know, my father was able to play on the weekends and make money.
Okay.
So we used to play with him also.
Okay.
I would play bass. Alex would play drums, and just slowly, by the time we got to graduating high school and everyone went off to college, well, we didn't have the money to go to college, so we just kept on making music, and it's the only thing we knew how to do.
That's great, you know, and that's why you are what you are right now.
Well, and I am no different than when we started. You know, money is only, you know, it's easy for me to say, but believe me, money does not buy happiness.
Awesome.
It really, really doesn't, because money is only, as long as I can take care of my family and my friends, and, you know, money is really to help people, people who are greedy and want more, you know. It's like, how much money do you need to eat and to live, you know?
Yeah, it's true, it's true. Once you cover the necessities, the rest, you know,
yeah,
it's bullshit.
You know, I mean, for a while, yeah, I bought a bunch of cars and stuff, and, well, I never even drive them.
Yeah, I know what you mean, man. That's great. You know, that's, you know, what makes me happy too, is to sit around and just, you know, have good laughs with good friends, you know, and family number one, you know.
And what I do with all the money that I do make, I put right back into my recording studio to make it, to keep it up to date, you know, to have the latest technology and to have the best machines and stuff, you know.
You know, after talking to you for a couple of minutes, I can see easy why, you know, Dave left and all that shit. I don't even want to talk about it, you know, because I'm respecting you too much right now, you know.
Because they're rock stars and they're business people,
yeah.
And I'm not.
I think that once he saw MTV,
yeah,
he saw himself in that screen doing what he did for only two videos, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
he forgot that music is what made him be there.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the truth, you know.
Yeah.
Anybody can do that with a band like what you guys are doing, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, how long did it took for Van Halen to get signed, you know, with Warner Brothers? How long was the small venues playing, you know?
We played for a good 7 years.
7 years?
Yeah, because the big thing was punk and disco.
Exactly.
And rock and roll.
Exactly. So, you know, you got desperate in any moment? You know, how many demos you gave to...
We never gave up because we believed in ourselves, and we really... just took it straight to the people, you know?
Yeah, you were playing live in small venues, and that, you know, filled you up a lot, so...
Yes, and slowly, you know, after we started, I guess around 70, 73, 74, and finally got signed in 77, you know?
Okay, okay, and, you know, when you started, how many original songs, how many covers you were playing?
Oh, we had a repertoire of probably about 200 songs.
200 songs, all of them originals?
Oh, no. I mean, in the club days, we used to have to play the top 40 stuff, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Let me see. When we got signed to Warner Brothers, the very first tape that we did was 25 songs.
Okay, okay.
Out of that, we picked our first record.
Okay. From the 25, you picked 10.
Well, however many are on the first record.
Yeah, whatever, exactly. Okay.
A long time ago.
Yes, yes. Okay.
The good thing is, now that Gary's in the band, he is also very much like me. He actually lives with me.
Okay.
Lives in the guest house with Valerie, Wolfgang, and I. And he's very passionate about music and knows nothing about the business, you know, doesn't care. It's all about the music, you know?
That's great. That's great. You know...
We're playing stuff off the first record, the second record. We're playing stuff that Sammy would never sing.
Okay. Okay. I understand. What was your first big show, you know? Who do you open for... You know, your first big concert that you step in a big sound system. I know how important that is for you.
Well, our first tour, our first legitimate tour, was opening for Ronnie Montrose, who was doing his instrumental solo tour.
Okay.
And Journey was headlining.
Journey was headlining, so you came before Ronnie Montrose.
Yeah, it was us first, then Ronnie Montrose, and then Journey.
Okay, okay. And you know, from all the years, what is your most memorable the best concert you ever play, you know, the one you never forget, maybe because the amount of people, maybe because how loud it was, or maybe
probably
because...
the first time that we played, it was always a dream for us to play the Los Angeles Forum.
Okay, because that's where you started in America, right?
Well, that was the place that Alex and I would always go see concerts.
Okay, that's great. That's great. So
that's where we saw Grand Funk and Black Sabbath and all the bands.
Oh,
and then,
shit,
so
man.
After Ronnie Montrose and Journey, we toured with Black Sabbath for almost a year.
Really, with Ozzy Osbourne?
Yes.
Was he cool?
Oh, he's great. He's still a great friend. So is Tony Iommi and Geezer and Bill Ward. They're all great guys.
That's great. That's great. Where were you, Eddie, physically and mentally when the first Woodstock, you know? Where were you at? You were in England still? In Holland, I mean?
No. I was in America.
Do you went to Woodstock?
No, I didn't go. I was too young.
Too young? How old were you in those days? You know, like 8, something like that?
Probably. Maybe around 10.
Okay, what's up with the second Woodstock? Why didn't you guys go? They didn't offer you? Maybe you were too expensive for second Woodstock?
No. It wasn't about that at all. It was just we already had our tour booked.
Okay, so you couldn't get a date in there.
We couldn't make it.
Okay, what's up with Santana? You know, he's a very big musician for Latins. You know, he's the only Latin.
Also a very good friend.
He is a very good friend.
Yes.
That's great. He's really into music. You know, I managed this band and we went to the Bob Marley Fest.
Uh-huh.
And we got lucky and we played his music for him.
Right.
He came down without a band.
Right.
And we met at the press conference, you know, and he said, let's go jam. I need a band because we were very, Mijo, which is the one that just called, is very influenced by him. So we went in the studio and he loved our tightness.
Yeah.
And he chose us to play with him, you know, so it was incredible. And Santana, we went into the van like at 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And we thought he was gonna start talking about, okay, we're gonna do this and do that. He didn't even talk about the songs. He just talked about, he made it so easy, you know, he was just being cool and just
Carlos was a great man.
Great, great guy, man. He really impressed me, and he was about music. He was changing CDs for hours, you know, making heroes Indian music, shit like that, you know.
Very good friend also.
That's great. Eddie, what's up with like before a show? Do you have anything, any routine you do you know, anything you do every time you go to a show? Do you do the same thing every time? Do you anything specifically, or?
Yes, I stretch because I have a bad hip, and I haven't had the operation yet, but because I need a new hip.
Okay.
But I haven't done it yet. I'm putting it off until the last, you know, until it just collapses on me.
Okay. So you crash how many hours? You know, like before the show.
Oh, I just play for about an hour, half an hour or so, you know, just to loosen up a little bit, but it's more... Oh, hold on one second.
Yeah, it's open. Just a three guy. Thank you. Just a three, yeah. Thank you.
I don't really consider it practicing, you know, I just sit and play.
Oh, I thought when you said you crash, it's that you sleep before the show.
Oh, no, I stretch.
A stretch?
Yeah.
Okay, I get it. And you know, how long does it take to do sound check before a big show?
Oh, we just do one song.
One song?
Yeah.
Boom, and that's it?
Yeah.
That's great, that's great. You have the same engineer for years, right?
No, see, the thing is, once when you play an empty building, it sounds one way, then people come in, it sounds different anyway. So sound check is almost useless.
Okay, that's, you know, that's great.
Sound check is actually more for just to check to make sure your equipment is working.
Okay, your personal, yeah, your amplifiers and stuff.
Yeah, and also to make sure that the crew guys are awake.
Okay. Eddie, what do you think of MTV 1982, how MTV changed the business, you know? Instead of being music, it was music and visual things, you know?
Yeah, I think it kind of blows the image of... It's the difference between reading a book and seeing a movie.
That's a good analogy, yes.
Know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely, because I think they fucked up the magic of it, you know?
Yeah.
Of hearing you in the radio, and then I want to see Eddie perform, and then you see it, it's like, damn. But once you see the video over and over,
yeah,
it takes all the magic away, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's like reading a book as opposed to seeing the movie. When you read a book, you use your own imagination.
So in 82, it did bad to the business, I think, after 3 years. And then in the 90s, it really fucked up the business, right?
It's just getting worse and worse, you know, but... That's the American way, I guess. I don't know.
I think that you are lucky that you came in a time where, you know, nobody's going to have the... It's never going to be like that again, you know?
You know?
So many bands coming out, they do an album, they do one song, you know, like the one hit wonders, like the movie, you know. And
hold on 1 second, okay?
Yes, sir. Eddie, right after MTV,
yeah,
that the business got affected. I think that it came the alternative movement, you know, Nirvana, Pearl Jam.
But in the same way, I don't think MTV is a bad thing. It's just a different. It's just another avenue of exposure, you know. But
definitely,
it's the way that bands use it that, I don't know, in the business, it's almost like rock and roll bands or whatever you want to. See, to me, all music is just rock and roll, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Whether it's rap or grunge or alternative or whatever you want to call it, it's just music, you know?
Yeah. But I think that it's so powerful that then the radio people go for that, you know?
Well, yeah. What happens is if one record company gets, say, a Nirvana or a Pearl Jam, well, then everybody wants one.
Exactly, exactly. What do you think about that? About, you know, having Nirvana come out with no solo guitars, you know?
And being, pardon?
You know, when...
Oh, yeah.
What about that? What about the alternative movement? You know, they come out...
I think it's because they couldn't.
Exactly, exactly. I interviewed Steve Vai when he came to Puerto Rico, and that's exactly what he said. He said, a young kid is coming up being a musician, you know, it's so hard to think he ever going to play like Eddie or like, you know, Eric Clapton, whatever. So they say, fuck these solos, man. Let's just play it.
Yeah, but if they last, they end up soloing.
Exactly.
Because in the beginning, hey, you know, I mean, it's like punk, grunge, you know, it's all... It goes in cycles, you know, it's like every 10, 15 years it all breaks down to nothing, you know?
Yes, yes.
And it's all garage bands, basically, people who can't play very well.
Yeah.
And then they get better, or they stop, you know?
Yes, yes. What do you think about reggae music, about Bob Marley? Are you into that?
I never got into reggae that much. I like Bob Marley, though, but there were so many bands... that started copying them.
Yes.
You know, that, see, there again, the business, you know, hey, this is happening, let's do that.
Yes.
Well, Van Halen has never done that, you know, we just do what we do.
Yes.
In a funny way, we're the only band that could compare it only to itself.
Yes, yes, definitely.
You know?
That's great.
They compare us to the era with Sammy or the era with Roth, you know, well, this is Van Halen 3, and this is the best a band has ever been, and you will see it when we come on the 20th.
Okay, what about, you know, your favorite album? You know, when you look back at your career of albums.
My favorite one is still yet to be made.
Really, that's a good answer. Okay, what about song?
At the same time, you know, it's like 13 albums. I have 13 children, and I love them all, and they're all a little bit different.
Okay, okay. You know, what about a song? Is there any song that you like to play or perform special in any shows, the one that you never leave out?
Well, there's always some staple songs that are hits that you have to play.
Okay.
But those are not necessarily my favorite.
Exactly. I'm talking about your favorite. The ones that, you know, I want to go to the show and know when you're really tripping in your head, you know? I know you do it the whole show.
It changes from night to night, you know? It's when the magic hits, it hits, you know, and you never know when it's going to hit.
Okay. And, you know, guitar solos, you know.
Yeah, well.
The same thing.
Right now, it's I do it in the middle of a song called A Year to the Day, and that's a pretty special moment.
Okay. When you're writing your music, which I know you write pretty much all the songs, you know.
Yeah, well, I don't even know where the ideas come from. I mean, the man upstairs, you know, God gives the ideas to me.
Okay, and you don't really sit down and say, well, now I'm going to write. You're just playing the whole day in your house and
I come out
with some leads and that's it.
I play all the time, and even on tour, I carry a little studio with me. I just play and play, and after a while, things happen.
Okay, you know, when you know a song is finished? When you know you finished writing this song?
When the whole band is happy with it.
Okay, so you bring it in and then everybody starts... hearing it and collaborating, and then
this is
it. Okay.
You know, okay. We change the thing here and there. We got a part shorter here, and you know, we just it's like making soup, you know.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna ask you a little about Dave. Okay.
Uh huh.
When is the first time, you know, he told you he was going to leave the band? Because I think that's the way it was, right?
Yeah, he quit.
You couldn't believe it, or you knew he was coming?
Oh, yeah, I was in shock.
You were in shock?
Yeah.
So, you know, why he did that? Why do you think he did that? He thought he was really kind of making his own?
Yeah, he thought that we were his backup band, you know?
Yeah.
Damn. And, well, he was wrong.
Definitely. And you prove it coming out with the second CD and selling more albums than...
You know, and Sammy was the same way. He quit also.
He quit also?
Yeah, he wanted to go back to being a solo artist, and I said, okay, fine.
Incredible. What happened the second time David came? Do you
call? Well, see, the only reason I asked Dave to do two songs, actually, it was just supposed to be one song, and it turned into two. Sammy wanted nothing to do with the Best Of.
Okay.
Volume 1. And I didn't want to put some garbage on it, you know, so I went to put some new stuff on it. And just out of the blue, Dave called me for the first time in years because he wanted to know how he was going to be represented on the Best Of record.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And we started talking on the phone, and it seemed like he had changed a little bit, you know?
Okay.
Like a little bit humble, you know? Because
yeah. No, because he was doing nothing.
Well, he was doing Vegas.
Yeah, I know. I saw the Leno or the Letterman show, and
God, was that pathetic.
He was fucked up. I couldn't believe it.
I know it was.
He took out bong hits and stuff. I just couldn't believe he did that, man.
That was pretty embarrassing.
It was. So you know, pretty much after that, you.
Well, see, look, all the years that Dave and us worked together, we were never really friends. You know.
Yeah.
He joined the band because he had a PA system. You know.
Yeah.
And it just seemed to work for all those years. But his attitude stunk, you know? He was never really a friend.
And I understand.
He was very egotistical, very demanding, and, you know? But we didn't want to make waves because it was our life, and we were making it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But when he quit, it came as quite a shock, but... And then Sammy joined the band, and, Sammy, we pretty much saw it coming, because even during For All Awful Carnal Knowledge, he didn't want to tour.
Oh, my God.
You know? And then it just stopped being a band.
Yeah.
You know? And you know, in between every Van Halen record, he would do some kind of solo project or something. Well, hey, if you want to be a solo artist, go be solo, you know?
How could they not see, you know, the great thing that was going on? You know, I can't understand that.
Well, everything happened. Well, because it's better now. Everything happens for a reason.
That's great. I'm happy you're happy, Eddie, because I really am a big fan of yours, you know. And
happier now than I have ever been. And
that's great.
Gary is the man.
That's great, man. What's up, you know, excuse me, I go back to Dave. You know, the second time he comes in, you guys did the MTV thing. Remember that, right?
Well, you know, see, he was never intended to be, he was never even in the running to be a permanent replacement.
Really? So it was just for these two songs in the album, and he did that for promo? Why he went with you to...
Well, see, that was MTV again. We had to do that. They told us that if we don't, it's all politics.
Okay.
First, you know, I missed taking my son to his first day of school.
Yeah.
Because I had to go to fucking New York to do this bullshit.
I understand. Wow, it's incredible how media takes it out, man, and you hear it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm talking to you, and I see it so clear, you know? I can't believe they...
Yeah, it was all very simple. I mean, we put out a press release that said we're currently in the studio doing a song, maybe two, for the Best Of Volume 1, and are currently looking for a permanent replacement, and it was not Dave.
And Eddie, you know...
I told Dave.
When you went to the studio, you know, didn't you think, you know, I'm sorry I ask you this, you know, how great could this tour be with him, even though he's so crazy, you know?
It's impossible.
It's impossible.
The guy can't sing anymore.
Oh, really? He did too many of that, you know?
In the studio, maybe, yes, but live, you know, I tell you, some things are better left in memory.
It's true. That's true. My father always says that.
It wouldn't have worked because the guy just—he's out. You know, he's out there. He's
yeah, yeah. He could have, you know, get out in the middle of the tour, and that would be worst.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
But we never intended on getting back together with him. It was just for the best of, you know.
Okay. Going to your brother, you know, I think you guys are an example of a great family and a great relationship. Is you and Al that close as it look?
We are more than brothers. We're best friends.
That's great. You know, that I think society needs an example like that, you know. And you guys are giving it, you know, day by day, and it's beautiful, man.
Well, thank you very much.
That's really very important for me, you know. When I'm the owner of this paper, and I'm really for the passion too.
Yeah, growing up, all we had was each other, you know.
I don't have brothers or sisters, so I appreciate when I see that, you know.
Yeah, I understand.
And in the business you always, you know, I think that the video Jump, and that year, '84, that you came out in the MTV thing.
Yeah.
That took you, you were always a great guitarist, but when you were showing your face, you have a charisma and an aura that not too many guitar players have, you know.
Well, I think because I don't act, I don't know how.
Exactly.
I'm just myself, you know.
And, you know, I'm telling you, the way people talk about you in the street is incredible. I don't hear from any other musician, man.
I can't wait to come to Puerto Rico, because this tour we have gone places that the previous singers never wanted to go to. We started the tour in New Zealand and Australia, and we're going to Alaska, we're going to Puerto Rico for the first time, we're going to places we've never been.
Eddie, I'm going to promise you something. I know you play it a lot, but you're never going to hear 10,000 guys scream so loud like September 20, man.
Well, I hope we have enough sound system so they can hear us.
You're going to be getting off from Puerto Rico?
Pardon?
Are you bringing anything down, only your amps?
I'm not sure what production we're bringing. I don't know. That's not my business either.
Okay, but you don't have to be worried, you know. This big show's coming.
No. I mean, Scotty Ross, our tour manager, he's been there many times.
Okay, that's great. So, you know, I'm getting to the end of the interview, and you've been very kind, man. What's your favorite pastime? You know, when you're not playing the guitar and you're not with your family, what do you like to do? Are you into sports? You see Jordan, what he did?
I don't really have the time. All I do is make music.
Okay, so that's your pastime. You don't really do anything else besides that?
I play baseball with my son, you know. I do family things, but...
How old is your son now?
7 years old.
7, okay. What about, you know, the movies? Are you into movies?
I don't have the time.
You don't have the time? even to go to, you know, get a movie and rent it and see it, you don't do that either?
No, very rarely.
Okay.
Maybe 2-3 times a year, you know.
Okay. What's up with, what do you like to eat, man, when you're hungry? What's your favorite meal?
Wow, I eat anything.
Anything? You're not into vegetarian or none of that?
Food for me is like gasoline. I just need it to stay alive.
Okay. Eddie, what have you learned from all these years in the business, you know, that I know you don't like to call business?
Well, I've learned...
That you put in your life, in your personal life, because I'm hearing somebody very relaxed and very happy, man.
Yeah, well, I've really learned that I have still a lot to learn.
And, you know, the logo of Van Halen, the VH thing, it's a great logo. It's been there for so long, and you can never change it. Who designed it?
Actually, Alex did.
Yeah, I thought it was one of you. He looks very, you know, he's very proud of your name, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Well, and why your guitar, you know? The design it has, the red and the white and black stripes, is there any meaning to that?
Stripe guitar? Oh, hold on 1 second, okay?
Yes.
Hi.
Yes.
Well, I designed first the Music Man guitar, and then I thought that I owned the guitar, but we had a falling out, so now I designed the EVH Wolfgang, which is made by Peavy.
The little one, right?
No, it's a regular guitar.
Yeah, but I'm talking, I wasn't going to go into the technical thing of the guitars, but I'm talking about, you know, why they're red and with the white stripes and black stripes.
Cause that's, I don't know.
That's very unique of yours, you know?
I don't know. It was a crazy day, and I just felt like painting a guitar, and that's how it ended up looking.
Okay, man. Coño, Eddie, that's pretty much it. It's been great talking to you. You're a very great person, man.
Well, so are you, Luis.
I really enjoyed this, and I hope you have a great show.
We're very, very much looking forward to playing Puerto Rico.
That's great, and I hope you have a good sound check today. I know you're going to do sound check in Chicago. Where are you playing at? At the Chicago Bulls place?
No. We're playing an outdoor place, I think, called Alpine Valley.
Okay, there's a question. What do you like to play better, outdoors or indoors?
It depends. It depends on the type of building if you're inside. Because if it's inside and it's a bad building, the echo and the reverb can be very bad.
Okay, suppose you have the best conditions outside and inside. Which one you like to play better?
Actually, it doesn't really matter.
You don't care?
Wherever people come and they like us and we play, we have a good time.
Okay, Eddie, favorite bands, you know, if you have to hear some music rather than yours, what rock and roll band do you like to hear?
Oh, God, I like everything from Peter Gabriel to AC/DC.
Oh, really?
You know, I have a very, you know, I listen to a lot of classical music. I listen to Yo-Yo Ma, the cellist, and I don't know. For one, I rarely listen to anything because I don't have the time.
Okay, that's why you are Eddie Van Halen, man.
I'm always making music that the man upstairs gives me, you know?
That's great. One more question. My favorite show is Behind the Music in MTV. It's a great show, you know. There's great stories like Lynyrd Skynyrd, like Stevie Ray Vaughan, great stories. The whole thing since they started their careers. You've never been called to do this?
Well, our career isn't over yet.
I know, but there's so much history in it, you know, and it's great.
I feel like we're just starting.
That's awesome. So we're gonna hear a lot of Van Halen still.
Oh, we're starting a new record in January, and we'll be on tour again next summer.
So, you know, it sounds like you make albums to tour. You love that.
Oh, I have so much music, it would blow your mind.
That's great, man. I'm not going to take no more time of yours. Very nice to meet you and to talk to you, and you're a very humble person, and that's what makes you Eddie Van Halen, man.
Oh, don't ever forget where you came from.
That's very important. That's very important. Thank you, okay?
You can lose everything in the drop of a hat, you know?
Yes, it's true.
So don't ever forget where you come from.
Thank you for being so kind with me, man.
So come backstage and say hello.
I will.
Ask for Scotty Ross.
Yes. Have a great show, man.
Hey, I have to go now.
Take care.
Bye-bye, Elise.
Bye-bye, yes.